Welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Rex Road is back in the house this morning, fresh off his trip from Las Vegas. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
Great. Already taking crap from Keezer. Talking about my appearance in various, my facial hair, my haircut.
I didn't say it was bad at all.
Well.
So, go ahead. What do you think? What do you think? Yeah, what'd you say?
I just made an...
Say what you want to say,
I made clear observations. That's all I did.
I did get a haircut last week.
Very nice.
Before Vegas, yes. Thank you.
Awesome.
Yeah. Good. So, actually, it was very good observation on your part.
There you go. Cool.
All right.
How was you too, Joe? You got to go somewhere that Nashville Predators didn't.
Yeah. Boy, it was good. It was good. That's all. I mean,
you missed out.
Yeah.
Fred's players, you missed out.
The thing is, I was really excited. I was excited for Nick because, like, Nick Bernowski was really excited about it.
Yeah.
I mean, Barry Trotz should have sent all the people he wasn't mad at. He should have let them continue. I mean, I know it would have cost a little more, but he should have just held just the players back. And, you know, done. Then they go later. And everybody else should have been able to do the plan.
I agree.
Look, in my opinion.
I'm just impressed that you made it through Vegas and you're back here. Not only are you back here, but you're back here in studio the day you get back. It's impressive.
Well
done by you.
We actually got back like midnight Sunday. So.
Well.
So, I mean,
why are you taking credit away from yourself?
Yeah, sorry. I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to do the show Monday. So,
everything I just gave you credit for is out the window.
Pretty much. Okay. Yeah, basically.
That's good. Good to know.
I feel really bad. Sorry, guys. I actually texted Willie yesterday. I'm like, dude, you got screwed out of YouTube. But apparently they were not part of the plan. The broadcast team was not, which actually is kind of getting screwed anyway. Like, why wouldn't they be included? I don't know why. But I put this idea up. I'm telling you, Barry Trotz, send the ads out. Send the admirals out. The last U2 show in the sphere, and it is worth it, is March 2nd. And they have a day off.
They've won 17 in a row. 17 in a row.
They will very not rarely top the record.
Well, the record's 28, so they got some work to do.
And that's the AHL record?
That's the AHL record.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Which was set by John Cooper.
Yeah.
Which is why he ended up being head coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning at one point. So
worked out pretty well.
Worked out pretty well.
Yeah, yeah.
So, there we go. We finally begun the show by talking the Milwaukee Admirals. It's Nick Keyser dream in there. He's like, finally, the Admirals. We're doing it.
Oh, we've got, I'm sure, much more Admirals coverage to come in the coming weeks.
I don't know if y'all caught this brawl that happened between Texas A&M Commerce and Incarnate Word last night. But, man, that got exciting.
Yeah, I saw.
Interesting transition.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's on the screen right now, and it looked like a heck of a brawl.
It did. We sound
like ESPN the Ocho currently this morning.
We've got a lot to get to on the program today. Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com will join us at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on all things Titans. Jimmy's been all over the place, the Pro Bowl, the Super Bowl. So we'll get his thoughts on all that as well and what he learned from those trips. Take your thoughts all show long, 615-737-1025. So Joe, since you were gone in Nashville Predators land, they got beat 9-2 by the Dallas Stars on Thursday night. Had their travel plans rearranged, I guess, on Friday, and the U2 trip canceled, which was a big story on Hockey Night in Canada Saturday. They go to St. Louis on Saturday and win, and now they're setting up this week for a really important week. Tonight against Vegas, Thursday against LA. And then a back-to-back Saturday, Sunday with San Jose and Anaheim. So there's a lot that's been going on with this hockey team since you were in Vegas. What did you make of what we saw basically over the extended weekend, Thursday night into Saturday, the 9-2 loss to Dallas, which was, I think, the worst game I've ever seen, and then the response on Saturday to go to St. Louis and win?
Yeah, so we actually went to Vegas Thursday, went to the show Thursday, but I was streaming the game and quickly I was like, yeah, we're good. Yeah, let's just go pregame. We don't need to watch any more of this. So I didn't watch all of the, but I was following along on you guys on Twitter, and man, that's a bit of a stunner, given you know, just the conversation during the week. You know what I mean? Like, yep. Like I just wouldn't have expected that kind of an effort. I don't know. You have to tell me. Like, obviously, you know, Andrew Brunette after the game is talking about people's heads aren't like they're still like on vacation, basically, right, and things like that. Stuff that, you know, you might hear during something like that. But just the absolute obliteration in that game. Like, we hate the term give up, right? I mean, I reject it for the most part out of hand. But you tell me, what the heck
there's
was
that?
There's
a little
that?
Bit of that.
There, I mean, there's a little bit of that.
When you get outshot 18-1 in a period, that's embarrassing. And look, it's not like they never had the puck in the first period. They missed some chances and missed the net. But 18-1, and then to come back and basically defensively, there's just no response. There's no pushback. They scored a couple of goals. One of them was like a fluky goal on the rush, I guess. They just got – it was the most lopsided game I can remember. Not just the score, just the way that the game went down. I mean, they just got punked all night long. It was stunning to watch. It really was.
So that's coming off. You know, the loss to New Jersey,
yep.
It was disappointing. And the Monday before that, the practice that Andrew Brunette was very upset about. So that was a bad stretch. And then they come out and get a big win. I mean, you see this plenty, right? You see a team have a bad loss or a couple bad losses in this league and then rally and get a big win. But that's a big one at St. Louis, and you're talking about the playoff race. So – I guess, does that mean that, you know, they figured something out? I mean, to me, like the prevailing thing with this team is that the margin for error is slim. And so, you know, you've got to – I mean, you just – any kind of slippage, and you're just not going to beat good teams in this league with this roster. But I don't know. Is that significant, or is that just a little blip on the radar?
Well, I think it's hard to trust them. And I think – every time you feel like, especially in the last month or so, they've had a couple of wins where it's like, okay, all right. And they look pretty good. They've played good hockey there. They, you know, they got some secondary scoring the other night. And you're like, okay, that's the formula. That's what you got to do to win. And then they'll follow it up and just look terrible. So, I mean, tonight you're on the road at Vegas. On paper, that does not sound very appealing. Can you find a way to, even if you don't win, like, can you find a way to look like you know what you're doing out there? Because that's the thing. Like, New Jersey, that game was not as close as the 4-2 score indicated. And obviously the Dallas game totally got out of control. And I think even Andrew Brunette would say this. Like, it's really difficult to trust them right now. So it was like Saturday some breakthrough performance for them where they're going to be on the straight and narrow now, and it's going to be look more like it did in November, December when they were rolling off wins left and right. It's hard for me to get there right now because – it's just they've not been a trustworthy team to this point. So, like, I expect this week they've got four games on the road. I would not be shocked if they, like, split one with Vegas and L.A. and then two teams that you have no business losing to over the weekend, they split one with them, with San Jose and Anaheim. Like, it just kind of feels like that's what this team is. And maybe in the grand scheme of things, winning two out of four on this road trip would still leave you right there in the standings. But it's time – like, if they're going to make the playoffs, they need to go on a little bit of a run here.
So, to me, I mean, what do they have – what's possible for them where – like, what could elevate them to go on a run?
Well,
to me, it's the goalie.
It is. And I thought he was really good on Saturday against St. Louis. And that's going to be the difference, right? Like, if you're holding on to him through the deadline, which I think is still somewhat of a question – if he plays like he did Saturday, then you're gonna give yourself a chance. And look, you know, he got chased out of the Dallas game after the first period. They scored four goals. I mean, he had basically no chance on any of them. And so it's hard. I know it's another situation where you look at it like, well, UC Soros got pulled again.
That one was a special
circumstance of that team just getting their butt kicked in front of them. So, you know, I don't hold that one much against him, but he's not really been able to put together a long stretch of dominance this year. He's had some moments where he's looked really good, but that's it. Like, I don't think this team is equipped to have the secondary scoring all of a sudden just come alive and be consistent for him. you know, we know what Forsberg, O'Reilly, Nyquist, that line could be when they're on. But if they're gonna make the playoffs, it's probably going to be because UC Saros down the stretch looks like UC Saros. I mean, that's what it's going to have to be, I think. And will he do that? I don't know. He hasn't done it yet, so we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's can he get on a heater? You know, something that I want to look up because it just came to mind is, like, I assume he's seeing fewer shots a game this year than he has. Is that fair to assume?
Probably for the most part, I would say that's fair. I need to look that up too, but I would, off the top of my head, I would say probably, yeah.
Because someone pointed out to me, you know, look at the way they played under Hines. He got a lot of, I mean, he mostly got a lot of work, right? Yeah. But, you know, the idea is obviously to you know, give him clean looks at the puck. But when you're a little bit more sporadic, and this is, you know, I guess this is excuse making. It is hard. You know how it goes. It's like the whole, you know, the plays in the other end, and then all of a sudden the first decent shot that goes on your goal, it goes in because he's been sitting around. How much of that is this year? I mean, I don't want to put too much on that, but I do wonder if that's a little bit of a factor.
Yeah, it absolutely could be. I mean, standings-wise, yesterday it was an interesting day because St. Louis lost again. So St. Louis was at home yesterday. They were taking on Toronto. They lost 4-2. The teams that are kind of right behind the Predators in the standings. So Minnesota gets a 10-7 win yesterday against Vancouver. They're down 5-3 and end up winning the game 10-7.
John Hines, fire wagon hockey.
They scored 10 goals on 27 shots. Vancouver scored 7 goals on 24 shots. So it's not like it was like a 50-45 trade chances. There's some elite goaltending yesterday in that one. But Minnesota wins, so that's obviously not helpful for the Predators. The Calgary Flames take down the Jets yesterday. So a couple of teams that are right behind them with some wins yesterday that are now, I mean, Minnesota's tied with them points-wise, and Calgary's 1 point behind them. So you had St. Louis, the team in front of them, losing, and then two teams that are directly behind them winning yesterday. So, I mean, it sets up to be exactly what it's been, which is those basically four teams, St. Louis, Nashville, Minnesota, Calgary, and I would throw, I mean, Seattle's in there too, so I guess five teams are all going to be right there going down the stretch. Arizona has moved to where they're at the moment, not totally out of it, but pretty much out of it at 50 points.
They're fading a bit. Yeah, I mean, Calgary's, you know, Calgary,
yes.
they're hanging around too. Yeah, it's and this road trip is, like you said, I mean, I do think that however the math works out, if you got 4 points, then you're okay.
Yeah. You'd still be right there, I would assume, at that point. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Rex Road is back today. We'll take your thoughts all show long on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Is there anything that is realistic that this Predators team can do to change our minds that they should not be sellers at the deadline? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. We're taking your thoughts on the Predators. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We're live from our Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Preds back in action tonight, taking on the Vegas Golden Knights on the road. So, Joe, I said it last week after the New Jersey game, it's time to sell. If I'm Barry Trotz and I'm the Predators, it's time to field phone calls, take a look and see what you can continue to stockpile from an asset standpoint, and kind of move into the future with the idea of gaining more assets, continuing to turn the roster over, and continuing to build towards, hopefully, here in the next couple of years, getting on a path where you're back to being competitive and winning or competing for a Stanley Cup. Now, of course, right after that, they follow that up with a 9-2 loss to Dallas. And then Friday morning, I mean, the idea of selling becomes a very easy conversation to have after you get beat like that. Now, they've responded since then with a win against St. Louis. And look, if you're a Predators fan out there that looks at the standings and says, wait a minute, why are we talking about selling? We're 2 points out of a playoff spot. We're right there in the mix. And there are the deadline is not until March the 8th. So there's still more information to collect here if you're the Predators before you're making your decision. I can get behind that. I can hear that conversation if that's the way you feel. I have no issue with that. My thing is this, Joe. Outside of going on a run here where they roll off 5-6 in a row before the deadline coming up, which I don't know that that's going to be realistic, but outside of that, I don't know that there's much that can happen between now and then to change my mind from the standpoint of I'm operating with the long view in mind, and I think the idea of seeing what you have and making the playoffs, while I think there is value to some of these younger guys getting in the playoffs and getting with a in a playoff series, which we've talked about before, I think that's what I said last week, where the coaching side of things and the playing side of things and the management side of things are two different ideas as you look at where they're at right now. And I've just seen too much in the last month and a half, where they've had an opportunity to really run away with this thing and get themselves firmly entrenched in a playoff spot, and they've not been able to do it, particularly on home ice, which I think is really concerning. I've seen too much over the last month and a half to make me think that that's all of a sudden just going to change, and that if they made the playoffs, they would be some legitimate threat once they got there. So it's hard for me to overcome that in this conversation. And there's not much, I think, that's realistic that this team could pull off that's going to make me change my mind. Because I still think the longer view and the path that they went down last year is still the path that they need to be on, and this roster needs to continue to churn. Is that fair? Is that unfair? Am I giving up on the idea of maybe becoming a seller or holding off on selling too quickly in your mind?
Well, I just think that the buyer would be ridiculous. Like, I don't have an issue, I guess, if, like, it's just standing pat. But as we've talked about, I mean, you do have a lot of decisions to make on a lot of these young guys. So why not move a couple guys, you know, if there's any sort of market, any sort of return at all? I mean, the big sell, obviously, is the Soros thing.
Yeah.
You know, and the expectation, of course, is Barry. You know, right? I mean, that's, we'll see how coveted he is out there. But other than that, you know, yeah, buying would be like, that would be the thing where it's like you'd have to scratch your head. Now, and Barry Trotz, not that long ago, I think it was on Jared's show, talked about basically waiting for this information, show me, and then, you know, maybe go out there and help out a little bit. Yeah. To me, you kill that now, you know? Like, go with what you've got. I mean, the one thing that is different, and we've talked about this, and this goes to, you know, Michael in Clarksville saying, you know, unless they win every game till the deadline, they should be sellers. Not consistent enough to be a threat would be another sweep by the number one seed. The only thing I would say about that, as we've talked about, is there isn't anybody in this conference that, like Colorado from a couple of years ago, where it's like, oh, God, just a terrible – which, by the way, they totally blew that and didn't have to have that matchup, but they blew it at the end of the year, and then they had to take that beating.
Now, I will say they do not match up well at all with Vancouver, and if that's who they ended up playing, they would get smoked. They'd get the first round.
Yeah, Vancouver, yeah.
But to your point, like, even Vancouver's not a dominant team like that Colorado team was.
Yeah, so, but still, I mean, again, like, if you get in, great. There's benefit to it. It's ahead of schedule. It's a pleasant surprise. But don't do anything at all, to me, to give up any futures for that. You know, if these guys can figure it out, great. In the meantime, they could figure it out. I mean, last year they made a run and played some of their best hockey after the sell-off.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, they had a heck of a run there, and it was like, wow, they're actually going to possibly make the playoffs after all they've done without Forsberg because he was hurt, right? So I just, no buy. And it just would – be weird for there not to be some selling given the contractual situation with some of these guys.
Yeah, like, I still think, and part of my insistence that they sell, regardless of them being 2 points out of a playoff spot right now, is still, like, looking at the long-term view of the franchise, you still have to find some game-breaking type of forwards, to me, if you're ultimately going to get to being an actual Stanley Cup contender. And what's the best path to doing that? You could make an argument it's tanking. Well, they're not going to do that, obviously. And the year to do that was a year ago. So if you're not going to tank, and you got, and I thought Adam Vigan made a great point on Friday. Like, when they have Philip Forsberg and Roman Josi and Ryan McDonough, and even though he's having a down year, UC Saros on their team, you're still never going to be bad enough to where you're that bad, where you're top five pick in the NHL draft bad. You may not be good enough to do anything, but you're not going to be that bad. So if you're not going to be that bad, that's fine. But you have to find out, you have to take a different approach and have a different way to collect one of those players. And to me, that way is stockpiling as much assets as you possibly can to equip yourself from a draft pick standpoint, from a prospect standpoint, where if the moment comes where a player opens up, and I don't know who that player will be, but it happens sometimes where there is a game-breaking, franchise-altering player that becomes available, you have to position yourself where you can strike when that moment presents itself. And I think about Matthew Tkachuk a couple years ago, right? He informed Calgary that he's not re-signing there. A mega deal in the offseason. We were talking about Matthew Tkachuk potentially fitting in here. A mega deal in the offseason. He ends up in Florida in his first year there, puts up over 100 points. They get to a Stanley Cup final, totally changes their team. Like, those guys don't become available often, but they do become available every now and then. And you got to put yourself in a position where if you're not going to tank and get a top five pick and get one of these generational players, you got to, from an asset standpoint, position yourself where you can strike when that opportunity presents itself. That's my approach.
Yeah, and that's, again, if you're a fan following along with this team and watching every game, of course you want them in the playoffs. You'd like to have a shot at it. But, like, this was always kind of a – this was always going to be an in-between kind of year, right? I mean, like, no one – I mean, I don't think we thought they were going to make the playoffs. Very few did around the league. So it's just, it's gravy. And it's just, there's no need to disrupt that plan that you just said, which has always been the thing. You know, that's what you've got to figure out a way to do. Not that, like, you know, I mean, if you went out and got some forward for a low price, it doesn't necessarily ruin that, but I just don't see the point of it at this point.
6-1. First meet of the day. Wow. And it belongs to me. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll continue this conversation coming up next about the deadline and the Nashville Predators. Is there anything they can do realistically that would convince you not to sell if you're a Predators fan? There's also one part of this from a Barry Trotz standpoint that I think is really interesting to think about as well. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Check out Nashville's best deal of the week. This week it's Bavarian Beer House, conveniently located at Opry Mills Mall. Enjoy beer, food, music, and fun at Nashville's only authentic German beer hall, where it's Oktoberfest every single day. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get a $50 gift card for only $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on the Preds. 615-737-1025. Nick Kieser with a stat. The stat of the day from Nick Kieser.
So the big question was, what, UC Saros was facing more or less saves this season? He's facing less, for sure. He's facing five less shots per game currently. He's only through 44 games. He played 64 last year and started in 63. So that number could still grow. We'll have to see what they do. I think that's kind of dependent on if they sell off pieces, then you'll see more shots probably fall in because the guys are not going to be as good defensively. But shots faced as opposed to save. Last season, he was one shy of 2,100 shots faced last season. And then currently right now, he has faced 1,261 shots. So I would say he's on track to be pretty close to it. I don't have an average. I'm still working on that. But I would say just early on, UC Saros is still getting pretty much the same body of work. It's a few shots different, but, you know, it's basically the same workload. So it's definitely questionable that he is giving up more goals this year than he was last year. And I think he was feeling it last year, and his value was at his highest last year. That's just the point. I think that you have to stand on here. And for UC, it's a matter of, Why are you feeling different this season as opposed to maybe previous years? I think it's the play in front of him and maybe partly the direction of the franchise possibly.
So I just did some awesome math while you were talking there. So 28.
Thank you.
Thank you. 28.7 shots a game this year he's seeing. Last year it was 32.8, so I guess that's
four shots difference.
Yeah. So that is that. I mean, I guess that's decently
that's a decent amount.
Yeah, I mean that's a significant. You know, it's obviously all like what's the quality. You know, I don't have like high quality. You know, high danger chances, things like that. I guess if you're getting, if your work is a little more sporadic because of your style of play, but maybe also are there more primo shots among the fewer shots? I guess that would be a recipe to some extent.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's when it comes down to it, he has given up, in my, without any stats to back this up, in my mind, he's given up way more goals this year. You're like, oh, no, you can't give that one up. And there's my unofficial advanced stat for you.
Well, I mean, the numbers bear that out too, right? I mean, he was last year, what was he, like 25 goals saved above expectation, like somewhere in that neighborhood.
It was high.
And this year he's, well, I believe, below. Last I looked, I want to say he was like 7 below, something like that. So that's a major difference over the course. I mean, he was if not the best, one of the best in the league at doing it last year. And if you look at this year, he's actually one of the worst in with all qualified goaltenders. So there's no question about that. He's not stopping the quality of shots that he stopped last year. And even with some high-danger looks last year, he made some great saves, had some dominant runs, and he just hadn't had that so far this year. So can that change? Sure. I mean, go ahead.
I would say the quality last year, for a perspective courtesy of Natural Stat Trick, great tool as well. Last season, UC Saros faced the second most high danger shots against at 928, and he made a total of 770 of those saves last season, which was also, believe it was the highest in the NHL. No, it was the second.
Yeah, so right now he's 77th. This is Money Puck, 77th in the league at a negative 4.9 goals above expected. So he's given up 5 more goals than he should have. And again, I guess even in my mind, it seems higher.
Yeah.
But like you said, you know, 5 above expected or 5 below expected. And last year he was number one. No, it was 46.7.
So he was even higher.
47 goals that he shouldn't have saved that he did last year. This year there's 5 that he should have that he didn't.
Well, and keep in mind.
Again, they all balance each other out.
Balances each other out, right. Like there's, you know, he made probably 3 or 4 in the St. Louis game that he had no business making that goes into that. So it all kind of comes together.
So when you have a net of plus 47, that is a whole bunch of great saves and just not a lot of bad ones given up.
Right.
You know, like you can't possibly give up a lot of bad goals and have that number. And this year, when he still is doing that, right? I mean, he still looks like UC Saros plenty, but he's at that in the net of minus 5. I mean, that's significant. And I know it's a subjectivity with all this stuff. Like, okay, tell me why that's expected or that isn't. You could go through it and, you know, quibble with it. But I think that's pretty reflective of his play.
I agree. And, you know, honestly, if you would have told me that heading into the season – and you would have told me where they are in the standings right now, I probably wouldn't have believed you. Like, so in some ways, you know, going back to exceeding expectations, like they've actually done a pretty good job of putting themselves in this position, even with goaltending that has not been very good. And I would not have guessed that would have been a formula this year. I think a lot of that has been attributed to Philip Forsberg is playing the best hockey of his career. Ryan O'Reilly's been really good. And at times, that group has just carried them offensively. And they're starting to, you know, I don't know if they're hitting a wall. I think they've actually looked pretty good for the most part. Nobody looked good in the Dallas game. They've looked pretty good for the most part coming out of the break. Forsberg, another big goal the other night. O'Reilly was good against St. Louis. But can you get some other goals to come along with it? The other thing is this, and this goes back to Barry Trotz and the deadline. Obviously, Barry Trotz, Andrew Burnett, have been unhappy, especially lately, with the approach, with some of the players and their mindset, all these different things. And I talked about this on Friday, Joe. You know, this offseason, you went out and you got Ryan O'Reilly, You dumped Matt Duchene. You dumped Ryan Johansson. You got Luke Shen in here. Ryan McDonough was already here. And we were told all about, you know, building a culture, right, and serial winners and all these things. And yet, you have your coach after games recently just screaming about the mindset and not being prepared to play and, you know, talking about the mindset still being on vacation after the Dallas game. And it's like, okay, well, those two things don't add up. Like, changing up the culture, bringing in all these guys, all these great leaders who have done a whole lot of winning in their career, why is whatever's going on out there not adding up there in terms of the approach? And I do wonder if Barry Trotz looks around this roster right now. I would assume that Ryan O'Reilly's probably not the culprit. I can tell you that guy's out there a lot. I would assume Ryan McDonough, probably not the culprit.
Fair.
Luke Shen, regardless of what you want to say about his play. And
that's a two separate
it's
issues.
It's kind of a two separate issue thing. But the approach, probably not the culprit. So who is?
I mean, I don't think it's Yossi.
I don't think it's Yossi
either. I don't
think
it's Forsberg.
So who is? And how many of these guys are maybe some of the younger guys? How many of these guys are guys on expiring deals? And I wonder, like, if Barry Trotz, when it comes to the trade deadline this year, are there already guys that could be on expiring deals that he's just seen enough from and he's made the decision, even though he's not said it publicly, that he's going to continue to churn the roster? Like, they got a pretty good number of UFAs coming up after this year. You know, Carrier, Favreau. I know Favreau is not technically a UFA, but Favreau, a decision to make on him. Novak, a UFA coming up. How many of these guys does Barry Trotz look at and say, you know what? They just don't have the mindset. They don't have the approach that we're looking for. And it's time for them to go. Like, I've said it all along. There are going to be guys on the roster right now that I think fans would include as a part of that young core coming up that will not be here next year. I have no doubt about that.
Right.
And how many of those guys have already been identified by Barry Trotz, and how does that factor into the deadline plan?
Well, we've talked plenty of times about the underwhelming play overall, right? I mean, it hasn't, and that's another thing. It's like you got the Saros performance, which has dropped significantly, and then also the young guy, the young guys who were supposed to be so much about this season. I mean, really, it's been pretty disappointing. But also, I have to look at that group for as the source of the issue, right? I can't. It's just hard for me to imagine anything else. Like it's hard for me to imagine like Colton Sissons is not being a pro. You know what I mean? Like, it's like there's such a big divide between the veterans and the veterans that are still here. Like all fit the bill to me of like culture guys, right?
I hear everything you're saying and I agree. Now, having said that, the Dallas game, Tomasino was back in Milwaukee. Parsonen was back in Milwaukee. Evangelista was scratched in the Dallas game and didn't play. And Afanasyev came up for his, I think, his second game that time. So he's not talking about him.
Yeah,
he's been there for two games. Jankowski had been there for two games. So, that's a pretty significant portion of your lineup there of the young guys that we're talking about that weren't playing.
But do those moves say something?
Maybe.
I mean, maybe the moves that weren't part of the performance that night, but you know what I mean?
I mean, maybe, but why is Andrew Brunette talking about guys focusing on vacation after the 9-2 loss if a lot of those guys that we think it could be
weren't
aren't
on the
playing?
Ice? Yeah.
You know? I mean, you had Gurianov out there. You had, you know, a lot of as a veteran lineup.
Yeah, so maybe
a big veteran lineup.
Maybe it is. I mean, it probably is unfair to just say it's all the young guys and all the veterans are all great. So maybe, you know, some of those guys need a kick in the butt too. I mean, anybody, like the whole roster does, and then they all miss out on you too because of, which makes me sad just to even think about.
Yes, there is that. Look, I just think there's a possibility that Barry Trotz looks at this right now and says, a major shakeup is still required. Like, they went down that path last year, and they shook the team up majorly. And could he look at that and say, we need more of that. We need more of a shakeup here.
Meanwhile, Matt Duchene comes in here, tears up the Preds, goes out, jams out at Tootsie's, and just, hey, thanks, everybody. I saw some people doing the, you know, you're not going to retire, What was the exact quote?
Well, he said
people aren't coming to Nashville to retire.
Yeah, you don't
anymore,
come to Nashville to retire. You come to Nashville to win. Yeah. And it was funny because I was talking to Duchene Thursday, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm still planning on retiring here after I'm done." Like, okay, well, that's good.
For the record.
For the record. So
he's playing pretty well.
He's playing pretty well.
Not, if anybody wants to, you know, complain about that move, I mean, you know, let's keep everything in mind, what we saw over the last few years.
Got a lot of your Preds thoughts to get to on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will do that next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Look at Keyser, just adding to the reel over here.
I know, but it just really bothers me that we can't get the singing version of this song.
You don't think it sounds good?
Well, yeah, I mean, but, like, I want the whole thing, man. When I want some Captain Tennille, I want the whole damn thing. Listen to it. Like, so
I like it.
Well, it's a great song. Yeah, yeah. Some of the actual, you know, musical stylings seem a little weird without the singing over them. You know, like, what was that?
The Captain Tennille instrumental. Bringing this back in.
Muzak. Captain Tennille Muzak. I need to know the rules. We'll have to do this, not on the show, not on the air, but just like why some songs we can play with the full song and some we have to play the Muzak version.
It's honestly, Joe, I'll answer that. It's a personal preference. So if you want it with
lyrics.
So
you're lying to me?
If you want it with lyrics, I can't. I don't play it for as long because of that issue, but it's a preference that I have personally for how it sounds.
He just totally made it up last time.
Because when Robbie comes back, I don't want him to be screaming over someone singing.
We have we have plenty of songs where there's singing in them. Right?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Not with Nick Keyser,
apparently.
What are
you doing? You're really making me mad. I want the singing version one time.
Just pick where you want to go to lunch and we'll leave it alone.
I've already picked.
Let's go. Sweet.
Well, I'm not going to say it in the air. I'm not giving anybody a free ad.
Oh.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, our phone number. A texter says, what about trading Askarov and using those metrics to long-term sign Saros? Maybe being able to get a younger score for a young goalie and open the trade pool some. The problem with that is, and I hear it, I think when you have a goaltender like Askarov, who is playing unbelievably well at the American League level, I still don't think there's going to be enough value there from a trade perspective to get you a proven NHL scorer, which I think is what you can get from UC Saros. So maybe I'm wrong about that.
Are
like
the
maybe
skills
team
balancing a little bit just with Saros playing poorly and Askarov? I mean, Askarov looks like a stud.
He looks like a stud. There's
these
no
teams
question
out here scouting.
Yeah.
You know, they got to know like this. And also, they also know how little they'll have to pay him.
Well, there's no question that the Askarov value around the league has gone up. Like, I do wonder, whatever packages Barry Trotz was floating out there to try to move up into the top five, like, how much different would those packages look right now with the way that Askarov has played? I don't know. But I still think there's a difference between a guy that's playing really well at the American League level versus a guy at the NHL level that's still relatively young and has proven that he can do it at the NHL level. And
sure.
The other part of this is the nature of the position. Like, you just don't see a ton of high-level goalie trades. It just doesn't happen very often. And it's hard to really generate a comparison. Like, we thought we might see it last year with Connor Hellebuck in Winnipeg, and then he signed a 7-year contract extension in Winnipeg. So it doesn't happen very often with goalies at the level of UC Saros. So it's hard to really generate value there.
Askarov's also too hot and cold. Yesterday he made 17 saves, lets in 3 goals. So
God, you were so hard on the ads. They won 17 in a row, dude.
Right. But I still want to know my stuff.
4 road games with a shutout in a row too.
Unimpressed with Yaroslav. Are you going to start calling him Askarov? You're going to start calling him Askarov like Jared does? I texted Jared. I'm like, his name, it's Askarov. We know this. He sends me back to like whatever, like some Stephen A. Smith. I don't care. Pathetic.
No, he's been good with them this season. I'm just saying, I think for him at the point in his career that he's at, he's still not consistent enough.
But would you expect him to be? I wouldn't.
No, absolutely not.
I mean, he's a fantastic prospect.
Which
he's
is got, why you don't have as much value there. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's got the tools.
He's got a 920 save percentage and a 2.12 goals against.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Now, as far as the part of this question about these metrics, the long-term sign size, I mean, I don't think this year has all of a sudden taken him from 8, 8.5 down to 6
no,
AAV.
No, no, no.
You know, I mean, it's not. It's a tough spot. It is, because it hurts his value out there. There's got to be a little bit of pause for other GMs looking at him. And then you got your own question. Because, look, I have to think. I mean, I know what Barry Trotz told me and other people like a few months ago, and I don't think he feels the same way. So is that not related to performance?
It's got to be, right? I mean, I don't know how – at least in the back of your mind, even if your plan is still to sign Saros to a long-term deal, I don't know how you couldn't at least ponder, if you're Barry Trotz and his front office staff right now, of say, hey, have you guys seen Askarov and the way he's playing down there this year? It looks pretty darn good. You guys seen Yussi, the way he's playing this year? It's been a little rough. Like, I don't know how that doesn't at least enter into your mind. I'm sure there's no question to me that those conversations have been had over there. Now, that doesn't guarantee that the approach is any different, but there's no way they've not had those conversations. Yeah. You have to.
Yeah, and you got to react to what you're seeing, and it's been different, no doubt. Texture says Bruno's system requires some serious firepower that the Preds simply don't have. Agree with that.
I agree.
In any other franchise, him and Trotz will be gone in 3 years. Wow. I saw you were reacting on Twitter to people talking about firing Brunette.
Can we please not do this? Can we please?
And this is what happens if you have any kind of success, because they are overachieving this year, really. So if you have any kind of success, and then it doesn't take long, right? I swear, especially in the NHL.
No, the other thing was amazing. Like, has Brunette lost the room?
He's still learning their names.
55 games.
He's still learning everyone's name.
So if he's lost the room, it's more on the room than it is the coach at this point, would probably be my response to that. I mean, look, clearly, and this is what I will say, going back to what we talked about last segment, clearly there's some sort of disconnect, right? Like, there's either with the young guys or with certain veterans in the room. I don't know who it is. But there's clearly something that's not quite adding up. And good on them for responding the way they did in St. Louis, and they looked really good. But when you got your coach and your general manager, you know, canceling U2 trips and trying to establish a standard here, and after the break coming out and just getting absolutely punked at home 2 games in a row in different fashions, but really just got your butts kicked 2 games in a row at home in the middle of a playoff race, like, there's some sort of disconnect. And right now, I mean, Barry Trotz is not going to look at his first-year head coach and put the disconnect on him. So it's going to be on the roster. So what does that mean for how he views the deadline and the roster turnover that I still think is coming? Like, you know, I think Vingan made a good point Friday in terms of they don't have as many tradable assets right now as they did this time a year ago. Like, there's no Matthias Ekholm that you can trade off.
No Tanner DeGeneau
to get half a franchise
back for. Yeah.
You know, they somehow traded Mikael Granlund last year, so maybe that gives you some hope.
God, I forgot about that one.
Yeah. But there's, you know, you've got Tyson Barry that could be, you know, now that the cap hit dries up a little bit more as you get closer to the deadline, maybe he's attractive to somebody. But you're not getting the haul that you got at the deadline last year, more likely than not. But I think if you're a Predators fan, if you're Barry Trotz, like, I'm okay with that. You could still find a way to get some second-round picks, maybe third-round picks. And over time, like, all those things add up and with your asset collecting, which is what I think they should be doing at this point. So I do wonder, like, as you look at the roster, are there guys that Trotz has seen 55 games of evidence worth of this year that he says, yeah, they're not a part of our plans in the future. We got to move on. And I think you're going to see that some.
Yeah, no doubt. And as far as a return, I mean, the way there's a significant return is if you do trade one of the goaltenders, probably Saros.
Yep.
But I do think whichever one is traded, and one of them will be traded, I mean, I think the return is going to be underwhelming relative to what people would just assume. I mean, if not, then I think it would have happened.
I agree. Like, I would assume that somebody this season, we know it happened last season multiple times. I would assume there's already been somebody this season that has called Barry Trotz about Yussi Saros.
No,
I would guarantee you that that's happened.
Yes.
Probably multiple teams. And clearly, whatever they've offered has not been good enough to pull the trigger.
Yeah. So at what point, and that's the thing, like, Okay, well, if you're underwhelmed now, as time goes on, I don't think you're going to be whelmed.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the one hope would be like somebody saving their best offer for closer to the deadline. But, yeah, I'm with you. Like, it's hard to imagine the value changing that much. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, it was rough for Vanderbilt men's basketball on Saturday in Knoxville. Lots of reaction from Vanderbilt fans after the game regarding Jerry Stackhouse, his future, and when a move could be coming. We'll get into all that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.